Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this down track.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance. Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. Goes based on the data you had for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the slopes of the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country and in the paranormally active shadow of Mount Rainier, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang. Another edition of Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and this is your host, John Almada, and Miss Kat, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How was your show today? I didn't get to listen in because I was out mowing 2 acres of grass down.
I had fun.
You had fun? What was it about?
Me.
About you?
Being
well,
attentive.
Hell, that's a good show. Your abilities?
Yeah, I took some questions and answered somebody's question about their landlord and some other stuff. Yeah, it was fun.
All right. Well, I'll listen to it on the archive show. I'll go out to your page later tonight after this show. But tonight we're going to be talking about basically it's a mid-year recap. Just like, you know, when you go to work and you have your six-month review and you look at where you've been for the year and where you're going, that's kind of what GRI is doing right now. We're taking just kind of a pause. We were just, you know, last week out at Virginia City and had a really interesting investigation, and we're still going through evidence analysis and things like that and getting our team together to help kind of plow through it all. I'm kind of having to probably put the kibosh on too many more investigations so close together, because the bad part of it is you got to go sit there and listen to all that stuff. So that's kind of what's going on, though. But we're looking at what's been happening in the past year, and we've been to some pretty neat places, you know, all over the gold country here. We've done a lot of work in and around the Marshall Gold Discovery Park, run into a lot of spirits there asking to be crossed over. And so that's something that one of the links out on our homepage on the GRI Ghost Rider Investigations page is basically it's called Letters 19, and it's just down. If you go down, it's from the Ghost Whisperer Wiki, of all things. And what they talk about, if you scroll down, is something that I found in a book that talked about telling spirits how to help themselves cross themselves over. And we've talked about it before, but basically it just alludes to the fact that ghosts can kind of hitch a ride on someone else's white light. And so if you direct them to go out and look for a funeral home and just wait around, they'll eventually be able to do that. They actually will catch a ride with somebody else. And that's something I think that's really neat. Doing your own ceremony to help bring them over is also another option, and that's something we're looking at doing. We've just had a heck of a year, though, trying to get to that. Christine is a friend of mine who does some of that, and she's looking at getting something together with a bunch of us to go out and do that. But we've had our physical challenges, and this week, as a matter of fact, my father had to go in for surgery, so I was a little kind of confused because I thought that this show was going to be something else, and got my pages turned around, if you will. And we were going to have Vicki Elsing on from Elsing's secondhand shop. And anyway, I cleared it up with her today, and it turns out her mother is sick and going through some similar stuff like what my father has been through. And luckily, in both cases, everybody's on the mend. Got my dad home wearing a big bandage on his arm from they cut some things out of his arm that weren't too good, and if they'd left it in, he could have had a stroke. So things are coming back to normal, and so we just decided to take that moment and look around at our cases. And I'm broadcasting from the alternate studio right now. I've been out all day mowing and doing yard work and doing anything but paranormal. So it's good to be just to take a break from it all and look at what's going on in life. So let me see. You know what? I didn't fire up the other chat room. I hope we have some folks in the chat room. Kat, do you see anybody in there?
Yeah, it's me, Dan, and Carla.
Oh, hey, Carla. Hello, Carla. Oh, goodness gracious. It's so good to have you back. We're going to have to do another show with you. And I'm going to have to bring the Queen of England on. Oh, she's a character, that one. And Carla, I know she had some physical stuff going on herself. A lot of people I know lately have been going through things like that. And it just seems like it's kind of pulling people back to reality and what they're capable of doing and things like that. So my best to her, and I'm glad to see her back because she was definitely missed. And Kat, you've been looking at some investigations yourself. Let's talk a little bit about the future while I'm looking at some past stuff here. You are looking at going to Tombstone, if I remember
right. I am
right.
Going to Tombstone, yeah.
Yeah, when are you going to pull that one off?
I am going October 16th to the 18th for Helldorado Days.
Helldorado Days.
Helldorado Days.
Hell with an H?
Yes, Helldorado.
Okay, that sounds like an appropriately dark theme for for Tombstone. So what's a good? What have you already got everything set up for it, and you're already set to go?
Yeah, I got to get a hotel room and stuff, but I'm gonna head down there.
All right. So, and that's what day? October 31st?
October 16th to the 18th.
Oh, the 16th to the 18th. But it'll be appropriately spooky, even though that time of the year.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and I saw your note. You messaged me yesterday, and I didn't realize that you had asked me about going. So I'm going to look at my calendar and see if we can pull it off for October, because that's at the extreme edge of my planning envelope. But I am looking at it. And I may be able to just pull off an actual drive there so I could sample all the other paranormal places on the way down and back. But I am set myself for the immediate future. We're going to be going to Bodie, which is a haunted ghost town out of not too far east of Stockton and getting in towards just past Yosemite. And that is on the eastern slope of the Sierra, and it's kind of a dry, dusty, desolate place. But the Bodie had just this huge, mile-long avenue of buildings, and it's burned to the ground a couple of times, except for like 200 buildings are left. Very, very haunted. We're going to be actually staying on June 19th and the 20th in a hotel that was I actually picked up and moved out of Bodie. And it turned out that that was a an actual bordello. And it turns out it's haunted. And evidently there's a very playful or playful ghosts that like to stay there and tease everybody. So it's become a favorite destination of a lot of people to stay in this older hotel that you know, is sort of pretty run down, but evidently a lot of people really like it. And you know, leave it to ghost hunters. You know, instead of going to the places that are real fancy, we like all the old, you know, beat up places that are really in terrible shape. So we're going to be hitting that and seeing how that goes. And then July 11th, I'm going to be aboard the USS Hornet to spend my 50th birthday. And so I'm going to bring in half a century on the planet and do that. And let's see, and one more time this year, too, September 5th, I've made arrangements to go ahead and hang out with Chip Coffee and the gang and a bunch of folks, again, on USS Hornet, going to be there for that. And he's got like a Friday gig going on too on the 4th for those of us who are going to do the overnighter. He'll have like some private reading thing, so I may go down the night before and just grab a hotel real quick there and actually attend that and see what it's like. So a lot going on. But oh, you know what I forgot to do, Kat? Goodness gracious, I'm getting along in years. Let's talk about the news. Can you make your news thing happen? Okay. All right. We got a giant blob found deep beneath Nevada. Oh, my God. This is from May 27th.
Roger that, Colonel. We have a blob underneath Nevada. Over.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that caught my attention. I was looking through the paranormal news, and I went, giant blob? What the heck? So hidden beneath the U.S. West's Great Basin, scientists have spied a giant blob of rocky material dripping like honey. Actually, smells, you know, honey is good. The Great Basin consists of a small mountain range separated by valleys and includes most of Nevada, the western half of Utah, and portions of other nearby states. So probably even runs right into California here. While studying the area, John West of Arizona State University, ASU, and his colleagues found evidence of a large cylindrical blob of cold material far below the surface of central Nevada. And comparison of the results with CAT scans of the inside of the Earth taken by ASU's Jeff Roth suggests that they had found a so-called lithospheric drip. And Earth's lithosphere consists of the crust of outer layers and the uppermost mantle of the Earth. So here's how it works. The Earth's mantle, which lies below the thin outer crust we live on, consists of rock, which deforms plastically on over a very long time scales due to the heat and pressure at depth. And so any material that can flow, including this mantle, a heavy object will tend to sink through the lighter material. And so that's what they think is happening, this lithospheric drip. A region of heavier material trapped between the lithosphere gets warmed up and starts to sink into the lighter, less dense mantle beneath, pulling a long tail of material after it. And so it's like honey dripping off a spoon is the visual aid that you have to think of. So, you know, it's like a really weird, basically what it comes down to is the entire West is dripping with honey, and it's kind of weird. Okay, so go ahead and read that story. It's definitely on the GRI homepage. I thought it was interesting. Just the idea of the Earth dripping like honey, it's kind of odd. We've got a news story here from theexaminer.com out of San Francisco. And these guys, I got to tip my hat to them. They do a great job with, they've got like a whole paranormal division just for, you know, all these great stories we tend to bring in. And we tend to get a lot of their stories coming up on search returns. Update, Austin Paranormal releases results from its latest investigation of Longhorn Cavern. And so obviously it's in Texas, where I'm from. So Austin Paranormal Group, led by founder president Amanda Foster, recently released the results of its third investigation of Longhorn Cavern near Austin, Texas. According to Mills Foster, our cat is starting to snort. Don't do that. I'm trying to read this story. That's not good.
Breathe some more nitros, John. Let's go.
Oh, goodness gracious, our latest investigation is active as the first two, but it was fascinating nonetheless. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, and as paranormal investigators, we accept the fact that there will be more activity at particular times than at others. So in other words, things didn't go quite the way they had expected. I'm just going to paraphrase through. They did get some interesting activity and got some audio evidence, and they've got a link to that on the story. So go ahead and check that page out. That looks pretty good. And there's a site here, too. If you want to go on a paranormal tour of that cave in Texas at Longhorn Cavern State Park, the URL is www.longhorncaverns.com/special_cave_tours.html. So that looked like a really neat thing. Let's take a look at the Knickerbocker. I think, you know, I read some of these before from last week when I had the 45-minute show, but I'll just reread these. Knickerbocker, this is out of Linesville, Pennsylvania. Excuse me. But that, and it's not so much a story as it is just an interesting site, and it's a paranormal hotel site. They really have embraced the fact that they're haunted as heck. And have just somebody did an excellent job on this website, and I just really recommend coming out and taking a look at that. So just go out to www.knickerbockerlinesville.com, or just, you know, hit the link on our homepage and just take a look around there. It's just chock full of stories and events, and they've got some even some playable interviews here right on the page. So check that out. And let's see, this is a more recent news from Cleveland.com. Paranormal investigators find evidence of ghosts at Brunswick's Heritage Farm. And this was this is posted on June 4th, 2009. 3 weeks ago, an Ohio team of paranormal researchers conducted a five-hour investigation at Brunswick's Heritage Farm on Laurel Road. God darn, I don't even know where that's at, but... In addition to the main house, built in 1850, the team also hunted for spirits in the farm's outbuildings, which included a barn, garage, a corn crib. What was that, like you put little baby corn in or something? An equipment shed, chicken house, milk house, and a greenery. The team used a variety of devices, including video cameras, digital cameras, audio recorders, K2 meters, EMF, all the standard stuff. Ghost radios during the investigation to capture the evidence of anything paranormal. So, and they spent the last 3 weeks analyzing that material, and they revealed their findings on Sunday. And from the second they set foot inside the Heritage Farmhouse around dusk May 9th, the three psychic sensitive and seven investigators representing the team felt that they were not alone. Psychic Ashley Peshek said there was a lot of emotion going on inside that place, mostly calm, cozy feelings, but you could tell there was a lot of hard work that went on there, mixed with quite a bit of worry. So let's see what – looks like they caught a few interesting photographs and got some good EVPs out of it. And I think that – I'm trying to see if they put that stuff online. It's a very long story. Let me keep going down. It's got a conversation. Actually, there was a conversation. This is not the usual thing with EVP. Of the voices captured during the investigation, several requested help, which is fairly common. Yeah, we get a lot of that out here. And they talk about a spirit who said, whose name was Isabel, and the spirit replied, "A person, does she live here?" Peshek answered, "No." And more eerie conversations of that kind took place. So, "Are you afraid?" an investigator asked. "No." "How come you won't talk to us then?" "I have to," the spirit said. "What's it like where you are now?" asked the investigator. "Happy." And the comment is one that reassures him as an investigator, Page said. It was sort of a weird sounding happy, but it was good to know. So, again, the typical odd sorts of EVPs we get, it's nice to know it happens to everybody out there. And that's basically it for the news. So we'll do a closing.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, we got Doc John. I can see disgruntled Dan Bryan's out there. Got Guest 5101. Imagine being named that, Guest 5101. That's your name in life. Guest 5218 is out there too. Carla, I see you. And there's Lerner. I've seen you around, Lerner. There's a Hey Cat out there. And Kestrel. And Don Daly. Hi, Don. So we're just going to flip. I'm flipping pages here because I'm sitting on the floor rather than in my regular studio. So I've got two laptops doing their thing. And by the way, since we're going to be doing a general show and just kind of reminiscing and looking a bit at the past and with an eye to the future, if any of you have got anything you just want to talk about, if you've got a paranormal group that is going to have an outing or an event, or you've got a ghost story to tell us, or you want to talk Bigfoot, pretty much an open season show tonight. So the number is 646-478-0377. Of course, major hint, Carla, who has a Skype phone, should just give us a call to tell us how she's doing. But anyway, and my switchboard just went crazy. So while that's going on, you talked to actually to somebody, Kat, while I'm reloading the page. You talked to somebody, what was it, Ike Clanton?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell us about how that went.
That was really fun. That was a really good interview. He's a very famous individual, and I cannot believe that he sent me a message last Sunday morning, and said he'd love to do my show. So he did, and it was a huge success, and we got a lot of stuff covered. And he asked me if I could tap his great Uncle Ike, and I said yes, I can. And But Ike Clanton is the kind of person, I have to go to Tombstone really to do it, because the soil down there is so poisoned with both good and evil and discontentment and all that good stuff, that you really want to catch somebody like Ike Clanton in his element. So I'm going down there to assist in any way that I can for him to get in touch with his ancestors.
And what was it? Was he pretty happy you were able to make contact? Or?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't made a lot of contact yet, but I'm going to. I kind of touched on it, but I kept telling me to come to Tombstone. Come down to Tombstone. Come down. So apparently that's where I'm going, so I'm going to Tombstone.
For hell days, hell raising days.
For Hell Dorado days, and then I'm going to turn around and go to Clanton days is in November, so
right.
Not really sure how I'm going to swing that one, as I called down there to book a hotel room for Clanton days, and pretty much they're all filled, so it's a huge
right.
deal. It's a very large event. Lots and lots of people go to this thing, but it's good. It's good for the town, for people to come down. They just want people to come down and experience a town that's too tough to die, and it just keeps going. I mean, there's like 2,000-3,000 people that live there year round, and yes, they depend on tourism. But you know what? It's a fascinating place because everything's
right.
the same. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Well, it's changed a little bit because they've had two major fires. So the Big Nose Kate Saloon used to be two stories. Now it's just one story.
I'll be darned. So,
but interestingly enough, they've had two fires in that town. And the one fire that, I believe it, burned down Allen Street, killed 40 people. 40 men died in the brothels and in the saloons when the fire broke out. So there's a lot of deceased people down there.
I'm going to have to make time for that one. That sounds like a great place to hit.
You want to see me work, follow me to Tombstone.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Well, GRI will load up the gear, and we'll definitely come out. Hey, we got a caller here. I suspect it might be Carla because it's all ones here. So here we go. Hang on. Hello, hello. You're on the air.
Hey, Carla!
Oh, Carla! All right, come on.
Hey,
Carla!
I've got a sore
throat. Don't make me shoot you with more stew, child. I have plenty of stew. I've been making it all day.
Not
oh, goodness gracious. There's so many of us here. It sounds like we've had a mental breakdown. Oh, goodness. Oh, I'm getting touched on the back of the head.
Okay.
Probably got a spirit in the house.
Adjust your stockings and let's go on.
Carla.
Yes, sir. How are you?
How are you feeling? We know you were kind of feeling poorly for a while, sweetheart.
Well, I'm pretty good. I just have a little bit of a headache. But other than that, I'm okay. I don't have to have surgery on my foot. It's healing up again.
Good.
Wahoo.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you do? Did you drive a lawnmower over your foot or something?
I don't even want to tell you.
No. What happened?
I was running across the porch, and I slipped and I fell and missed the last step and landed kind of weird on my foot and broke it again.
Ow. That's
Harla.
Not good.
That's the third time. So, but that's
well,
better.
Is it the same step that's tripping you up?
No. No.
I'd do something about that step. I'd take it out on the step, for God's sakes.
No, it wasn't anything. No, the first time was a car accident. The second time was one of my cats left one of their toys in the floor, and I stepped on it and bent it crooked and broke it then, and then I just broke it again about 8 weeks ago. So I need to heal.
So it's definitely on the mend, though.
Yeah, it's actually healing right this time. It didn't heal right,
right.
The last two times, so...
Oh, so you broke it again just so it would re-heal correctly.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and the step was the answer, so...
Yeah, you got that right. How are you doing? Is your dad doing all right?
Yeah, he's doing better. I mean, the what happened was when we had the... he had a major seizure on the way to the hospital. We were driving...
Oh,
I was driving the car... I was driving the car at about 100 miles an hour. This was on January 11th, 2008. Had my mom in the back doing CPR, and we had a CHP escort. And I was driving like I've never driven before. And we got him into the emergency room with 2 minutes to spare. And my mom actually got his heart started in the back seat. And all she could remember of me was, she was telling me about it the other day. We were talking about it, and she goes, "Do you remember what you were saying in the front of the car?" And I'm going, "Have no clue. I have no. All I remember, I was wide eyed and just trying to get there." And
oh,
she
yeah.
goes, "All you were saying was, this is not good. This is not good."
Yeah. Well,
so anyway, he. Yeah, but what happened was I walked into the emergency room, and they let us in, and just in time to see him actually. He was fighting them, and he had two orderlies. He had six people holding him down, and they had him strapped in. And what happened was he lifted. They had the needles in his arms, and he, while that they were putting it in, he grabbed two orderlies with his arms, and I watched him lift them both up in the air and dangling.
Oh,
and
wow.
He bent the needle in his arm, and what ended up happening is he damaged one of the big veins in the arm.
Oh.
And it's turned into a real problem. And when they pulled it out, they actually did the operation on Friday, and they pulled that thing out of there, and it was full of plaque, and he was a sitting duck for another stroke.
Oh,
so we got that out of there, and he's feeling a lot better, and he's got his ACE bandage and his pain meds, and he sits there and teases me now about ghost hunting. So he's doing a lot better. If he's giving me a hard time about ghost hunting, I'm feeling better about it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. Definitely. My dad knows that, too. He doesn't understand it at all. Well, I don't really ghost hunt anyway, but I'm interested, you know. I mean, I go out and take the pictures and the recordings and stuff, but, no, he's not into it. But now, this tombstone thing, I want to go. I want to go. But I want to go on the 26th because that's supposed to be the residual haunting, right, Kat?
Yeah.
I want to go on the 26th.
Huh.
I talked to Ike about the 26th of October, and... I'm hoping that I'll be able to go back to the vacant lot where the fight happened, and I'd like to just stand there with my eyes closed and give a play-by-play as to what actually happened. I know I can do it.
I bet you could, too. But don't tell me what I'm wearing, okay, Kat? Please, it'd be embarrassing. Now, don't tell me what I'm wearing tonight, please.
I won't.
Well,
you got a blue nightie on with pink bunny rabbit slippers.
Nope.
Oh, damn, that was a good guess. Hell, I was trying a girly thing. I was just seeing what it could work, you know.
Last time she embarrassed me when she told me I was wearing, and she was right.
Well, Kat, yeah, Kat's the remote viewer in the house here, so I can't do that job. But I took a guess. It was a guy thing. Come on.
Well, nobody could have guessed it, you know, and that was kind of strange. So. But all right, I'm going to let you guys get back to the show. I just wanted to call in and say hey.
Yeah, we're just glad to have you aboard. And, yeah, if you're interested in doing that thing with us out there in Arizona, you know, just put it in an email and we'll just figure out how to make it work. So.
Yeah, because I think October would be great because of the fact it won't be so hot. I can't take that heat. Oh, that's miserable. What is it, 120
okay.
in the summer and humid?
Not in 1800s clothes, I won't. Heck no.
No. That'd be miserable. Oh, Kat and I already decided what we want to be.
We're going to be hookers, man.
We're going to be saloon girls.
I'll tell you what, I'm actually half Scottish Highlander. I'll go there wearing a kilt. So
oh,
it's a manly man kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
What do they wear under those kilts?
Not much. We'll leave it at that. Let's just say things get airy down there. It's awfully airy down there. Let's just say that. So I've actually worn one once, and it was kind of nice. I kind of liked it.
Ooh,
made
Kat.
Things real convenient, you know?
We're
so,
have a guy with a kilt around. This could be fun.
Yeah, man with a kilt on and a cowboy hat. Yeah, go figure.
Oh, and a cowboy hat? Oh, that would be good.
Yes, laddie. It's a Scottish cowboy hat. Hey, laddie.
Hanging out with a couple saloon gals.
Okay. All right, well, I'll hang out with the two hooker gals, and we'll have a great time, okay?
I'm a hooker.
No, I'm telling you, a saloon girl. I don't want to be a hooker.
You don't want to be a hooker. You need to make up your mind.
I just want to be a saloon girl. Well, I guess they're hookers, though, aren't they? Well, okay. Well,
yeah, hello? Is there a difference? I don't know.
All right. I guess not. Makes extra money,
okay.
I guess. Oh, no. Ew.
I'll call you Miss Kitty.
Oh, okay. I guess
okay.
I should get a red-headed wig and put a dot, one of those little moles on my face or something. Yeah. Cause
oh,
Kitty,
man.
Long
that rocks.
On Gunsmoke had that.
Okay. Well, I'm up for it. Kat's up for it. She'll wear the same thing.
Oh, okay. Hell, I'll go as a hooker. I don't care.
We'll just draw moles all over our face.
Oh, no. That's not good.
Yeah. I can call you Holy Moly.
Holy Moly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all right. I can tell you is you'll probably get felt up by the ghost if you go doing that. So just be careful. We had that happen on a Virginia City thing here last week. So
seriously?
Literally. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We went up in the Millionaires Club. We were on the second floor towards the back of the Millionaires Club in the section where they had a lot of the debauchery went on. And Vicky, one of our investigators, she was standing back there, and I had the K2, and we just set it down. And we decided to sit for a minute, and I said, I feel something in here. And, you know, that's where I've got my ability. I can tell when spirits are in the room, and I can feel them.
Were you wearing your kilt?
I could feel them. No, I wasn't wearing my kilt, but when I was sitting there, we were looking at the, hey, laddie, I was sitting on the stool, and that felt good. But I look over, and the K2 goes off, and I look at Vicky, and I says, did you see that? And she says, yeah. And I said, okay, let's confirm. And I had the audio running. I said, yellow light, right? And she says, yeah. And so I get up to walk over to go check it to see if maybe I'm picking up a stray EMF field or something.
Yeah.
I start to come back, and she says, John, and I go, what? And she goes, I'm getting felt on my leg. And then it started traveling up her leg. And she was looking real surprised, and I said, just go with it. And, you know, and she looks at me funny, and I'm nodding, just go with it. So I come over with the K2 and got right next to it, and the K2 spiked real fast 4 times, 1, 2, 3, 4, and she and I both witnessed that and called it out on the audio.
Oh, wow.
And I kind of took the role that I'm the boyfriend, and I was saying, you can't do that unless you pay. And she got right into it. She goes, yeah, boys, if you want to, you can only touch where I tell you can touch. And we got a few more reactions out of it, and then it just died away. And it was something to see. And I had the feeling they were playing around with us. They thought it was funny.
Yeah,
So I tend to think Tombstone may have the same kind of activity. So,
one can only hope.
Yeah, well, you know, for you, yeah, you girls will enjoy it a lot. I don't want to get felt up, so that would be bad. Yeah, so anyway.
Hey, Carla, read the chat room.
Chat room? Okay, I can't right now because I'm not that smart. I can't do two things at one time.
I cannot read
oh,
it.
Oh, no.
Out loud.
Good God.
Good Lord.
Don't, standing in the Brian, camp. For God's sakes, man. What are you saying there, son? That's not right.
All right. That is just so wrong. Okay. I'll let you go. I'm going to go back in and read the chat room. Uh-oh. I hope they're not
okay.
saying it's too bad.
All right, Carl. Hey, thanks a lot. Glad your foot's healing there.
Thank you. See you later.
Okay.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, and we're going to take a brief break. I'm going to go ahead and run the, let me see what we got sitting in the hopper I can pull out of the, what do you think, Kat? You think, I think it's time for a little Bigfoot.
Oh, man.
Yeah, let's do it. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, man. This one's for Carla and Kat. My two favorite girls. You dress up in them. Yeah, it's a Bigfoot kind of thing.
We're just whiskey drinking huggers.
From coast to
coast. There he goes. And you can smell him from really far. There's a dead one right out back.
Oh, shit.
Not alive, but once he was. Yes, he was. He really was. Oh, ain't you a believer?
He's in the freezer.
Lay down to Bigfoot down in Georgia.
You can take it to the Bigfoot Bay.
And we can prove it. It's
her world. It's wax. It's hers and hers alone.
Come along.
Take a look.
Take a look.
Go ahead.
Get a hairy Bigfoot found in
yours.
Come along.
Take a look.
Take a look.
Go ahead.
There's a big ugly
Bigfoot
found
in
yours. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey. No boy.
Leprechaun.
No lie.
Unicorn. Santa Claus.
Okay, we're going to transition into one here. I loaded this some weeks ago for Carla and forgot what the heck I loaded here. It says comedy for Carla, so we're going to play this one for Carla, welcoming her back to the fold. Here it is for Carla.
Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough
of breaking your feet.
Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour, that's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day in an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe.
Damn straight.
keeps on expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz. As fast as it can go, the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
So Carla, that was for you. That's your welcome back. Considering how big the universe is, that little small fall from a step was a small thing, but a big thing. But we're just glad you're back to us. So hey, thanks for calling in, and you know, we're going to have you on again soon. And not only that, you know, I may wear a kilt for you. You know, if you wear the hooker thing. So you know, just let me know when. All right. Anyway, Cap.
John, you're a Scottish hooker.
I'll be a Scottish hooker, hey, big boy. I want my baby back. I want my baby back ribs. We have to do an Austin Powers haunting thing. Okay,
I'm a hooker. I'm going to carry around a bottle of Jack Daniels and go, I'm a hooker.
We actually took whiskey to our last investigation, and we toasted the... toasted some of the guys that lost their lives in that mine, and it was something else. And we think they really liked it. We had some pretty interesting phenomena that happened there right after we did some of that. But not only that, it was the first investigation where we all toasted, and we were pouring rather liberally a little bit out of the bottle that we had, and a lot of people were real happy investigators there for a while. So. I kind of had to put a stop to it at one point and say, okay, we got to keep it, you know, sober for this one. But actually, we had an interesting sighting. I turned at one point. This was at the Gold Hill Hotel outside Virginia City. What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at? Is that the chat room? You're snorting. What? If I get...
If I get drunk,
I'm going to find out if John is wearing anything under it. What are you saying, woman? Good Lord. I just saying. I'll tell you what. If I'm going to do that, I don't wear a thing. The heck with it. It'll give you guys a thrill.
I'm just a hugger. Anyway.
I'm sitting here talking cases, and you're all sitting here having this party. Was it a private chat or was it the regular chat? I'm still looking here.
No, it's wide open. It's just way out in the open.
Brian said snort. Did she snort?
No.
Snort
funny
McSnortness.
Snort.
Snort
McSnortness. Listen.
She did it. Oh, I've got plenty more that can make you snort here in the playbacks here. I think we'll find another song for you. Oh,
well, you know,
here.
if you check my... if you check my I Am Haunted page, there's a surprise on it.
Oh, really? Has it got you doing the snort?
No.
Oh, okay. Hey, have you been on it? What investigations have you been on this year, you know, looking back and kind of since we're taking the pulse of everything right now? What have you been on in the last 6 months, other than when you came down?
That's it.
Here. That was it?
Yeah, and then I help people with my remote viewing. So I'm getting ready to step out and start doing stuff again.
Yeah, because I'm looking back at the case list here, and let me see what we had for 09 here. I had the Marshall Gold Discovery Park. You and I hit that Wakamatsu Tea and Silk Colony. That was a good one.
That was interesting.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what that is the very first Japanese national who died on U.S. soil died about 6 miles from my house here. And it turned out that what was done is some rather unscrupulous people put together a kind of an expedition to bring some Japanese in to basically grow tea and try to establish a silk farm outside of Coloma, right? But, you know, just right by where the gold discovery, you know, was done. And what ended up happening was I think the whole thing failed after a few years. And one of the girls was a 19-year-old woman. She died from some reason, and they buried her right there just outside where there's a school now. And there's a family, I think they're called Vanderkamp. It's a very big, powerful family here in town who do a lot of construction work now. And they took it on themselves to care for this woman's grave. And it turned out that the Japanese government got wind of this and were very appreciative, so much so that they sent out representatives to award this family a Japanese government proclamation for basically taking such good care of one of their citizens. And so, but the thing that's happened is they've put there's a monument that sits just inside this elementary school where this whole tea colony had been located. There's people drive right by it and don't even see this thing, and it's sitting right there in plain sight. And it's this very beautiful stone and plaque, and there's this Japanese looking building that's sitting there. And you go up to it, and you cannot go into the area where the grave is. That's up and over this hill. But I've gone over there and gotten just some remarkable EVPs there, and had what sounds like Japanese on the EVP recorder, and we've also gotten English from some of them. And one actually, and Carla will laugh now, one goes, thank you, Lover. And it's exactly the way it sounds, and it's kind of a Japanese accent the way she says it. And just as I was leaving, I said goodbye to her, and she goes, thank you, Lover. And I thought that was really nice, but I'll wear a kilt for her. Okay, so anyway, Aunt Kat's not going to laugh anymore, is she? So, you and I did that Main Street thing when we walked down Main Street. We've talked about that in the past, and we've got a bunch of cases out of that are still pending, because that was one of the most productive EVP walks we've ever done.
Yeah.
And it was a big lesson. I mean, for those of you who do your own EVP work, what we found out was that you could actually just walk down a city street. It was an experiment. We were just trying to think outside the box and how do we come up with a way to find out what's haunted and what's not quick. So we just treated it like a random fishing trip. We just walked out with an EVP recorder in hand, and we picked up a whole bunch of different EVPs in downtown Placerville. And we think that's a technique that could work anywhere for anybody. So we ended up getting voices at the oldest hardware store in the West, which is the I think it's the True Value Hardware Store there now. But that hardware store has been there since the 1850s, and it's haunted as hell. We talked to the proprietor, and she was telling us about how pretty girls that go in there, their shoes get untied, and the staff doesn't say anything to any of these women who get hired in if they're pretty. They won't say anything, and they take bets on when the ghost is going to untie their shoes. And it keeps happening until they finally, become exasperated and go see the management, and then they get told. It's kind of a tradition thing with them. The other thing is that if the ghosts don't like where they've placed merchandise, they'll come in the morning, and the store shelves will be rearranged to the way the ghosts want it. And they've tried fighting it. They've tried to actually put it back the way they want it, and it gets pretty intense. They insist on having their way. So we're scheduled to go in there sometime in the coming year. I've been remiss with all the other stuff going on about getting back to them, but we've got their number, and definitely going to go in there and give that a look. We did take time to go to the bookery, and we did that show from there here about 3 weeks ago. We stayed overnight there. And again, we're sitting on a ton of evidence, so we've got that well in hand. And that was a great case. I mean, it was just I actually had a sighting of an apparition. I came face to face with the thing. It was really something else. Our psychic was there with us, and she walked through and identified a hot spot in one section of the this store. And the bookery is a bookstore. It's an old used bookstore in downtown Placerville along Main Street.
And so we had our team that was just not going to stay the night, but about four people in, one of which was the psychic that we use, and she's real good. She came in, took a look, and said, "This is a hot spot." And so we marked it, and I came along later independently and hadn't known that she'd marked that, and my EMF meter went crazy in this area, which it shouldn't have done. So I marked it and said, "Hey, I think this is a hot spot." Then I find out later, that, hey, this is the psychics called that out. So later on, the store is closed down, lights are out, we're doing the investigation. I come around a corner with an EVP in hand, recorder, and my EMF meter, K2. Come around the corner, and I'm standing there, and I get another reading, and I look again. It was real brief, and I thought, did I see that or not? And I bent down trying to see if I could reproduce the reading, and when I did, this thing about 3.5 feet tall poked out and 2 feet right in front of me. I looked directly at it. It was kind of a whitish gray, indistinct form, but definitely sort of a human form. For all of about 2 seconds, popped out, looked at me, and I jumped back, and it disappeared back behind the bookcase. And then I called that out, and so we have the whole thing on tape. And immediately went out and got the video equipment and set up that. And so we've got 7 hours of evidence to review there to see if we did catch anything in there. But it was the second full-on apparition I've ever seen. I've never actually had such a direct. Usually you see things out of the corner of your eye, shadow person, stuff like that. I'm used to that. I'm used to catching that glimpse and realizing, oh yeah, something's there. I look at it and it's gone. But this was dead on. I looked at it. It looked, if it had eyes, it was aware of me, and it jumped back, and I jumped back. And so that was a good case. And all of that happened because of that one walk that you and I did. So, and then there was the sighting you and I had when I said about the light. Remember that?
Oh yeah, up in the Hangman Saloon.
Yeah, and I said, gee, I wonder, it would be nice if there was a light there, and then a light appeared almost as if on command, and you and I both saw that, and that was kooky, man. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. I would love to get into Carrie House, another one this year, and see if we can get a direct shot into that. And we did go back, by the way, on the night of the bookery and really took a look at that building, and it's coming apart. I mean, the city's going to have to do something about it because it's literally falling down, and it will probably end up falling on the street if they don't watch it, because the whole front facade is peeling away from the building. So I could see that ended up being shored up and then basically the building ripped out because the whole thing is leaning and tipping. So there have been reputed to be many, many haunts there because the old hanging tree, that's why they call it the Hangman Saloon, the old hanging tree there, a lot of guys danced at the end of that rope for various crimes. So, matter of fact, there was actually, I think, a robbery on that street right in that vicinity of that for the Confederate Army, of all things. They tried to rob some gold, and I'm going to have to look into it more, but somebody told me about this case, and I went, what? And it turned out, yeah, there's some Civil War history here in this town, which we've had various run-ins with that in the past. When you and I got that one EVP, remember that, in front of the other bookstore?
Yeah.
Yeah, where she says, I'm here, and she's like, really? It turned out there was this other bookstore about 4 or 5 doors up from the bookery, and basically, this woman's voice came on and just started being really exasperated because we called out, and when we didn't hear her, she was really ticked off at us. So we did play that EVP for the owners, and they said come back any time. So I think August, September time frame, we'll be going back there and finishing up all that from that one investigation. We ended up with basically four potential investigations out of just that one little run we did. So I think that's pretty darn good. You and I hit the Fairplace Cemetery. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me look at here. I'm just looking at some of the things we got. That was we got a ton of EVPs out of that place. One says here, and I don't have them uploaded. There was a guy that when we first walked in, the guy says his name is Greg, and I've run into him before. And he, when you open the gate to the Fairplay Cemetery, and Fairplay is a little gold rush town. It's just one of those you drive in, you drive through, you take a look, and you're already outside town, you know. But there's this little gold rush cemetery, and it's just a little gem. And I recommend it to anybody who is coming out through California. You really want to hit a haunted cemetery? This is the place. But this guy says, please help me out. I'm Greg. And here's another one where we got this says, Miller family, get out. And let's see. Another guy says, get the hell off of me.
I know. I couldn't believe that one. I felt like.
Yeah, get the hell off of me. Well, sorry. You know, we don't know where all the stones are, buddy. I mean, and another one, we got a couple here that are referring to the name Somerset. And it turns out that there's a town of Somerset just up the road. And so this person is saying, my name's Somerset. So evidently we hit one of the family members who is interred there. Another guy came out and said, bad guy with Derringer killed me. And I thought that was an interesting catch. I'd like to know more about what happened in that case. So if there's any gunfights in the area, we should research that. A lot of them had real. Another one says, what's the matter, Master Chief? And a lot of folks don't realize it, but I'm a big fan of Halo. And I have no idea where that guy picked that up, because a few of my friends call me the Master Chief at work. And so this EVP out of the blue says, what's the matter, Master Chief? I forgot about some of these. We've caught so many. We literally have, well over 500 EVPs. Thank you, Polly here. So we got some great names. Susan Ann started young. And you were catching stuff, too. What were you catching in that place? Because you were feeling things.
I caught an audible. I was standing in front of that little three-year-old's grave, and her name was Sarah. And then that was right by that World War II veteran, and I went over there, and then I heard this, that's Sarah. Remember, because I looked up at you, and I said, John, did you hear that? And you came walking up, and you go, what? And I go, that guy just said, that's Sarah, right next to him.
Whoa. And it was, right?
Yeah, and that was Sarah. I looked, and it's Sarah, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that place, I had been there once before in October of 08, and we, as a matter of fact, the minute I got out, it started raining hard, and I only got like 5 minutes in there, and for about 5 minutes work, I ended up with 7 EVPs, and so I knew it was a productive place, and I was glad we went back there. It was in February, and my God, it's just a real producer. I mean, we were really surprised at everything we got out of it, so it's definitely going to be a repeat for us. I'm looking here. We had, what's the count here on the files?
If you guys are doing the Carey House, I'm down with that.
Yeah, we got 65 EVPs out of that for probably about an hour's work. That wasn't too bad. And,
there was those two grave markers that were so cool.
Oh, yeah, we've got the pictures of those. What it was in that cemetery, there was a guy who was a power line worker, and he was a U.S. Navy vet. And his wife was a teacher, and she did all these community type things. And what they did is on their final resting place, they're laid down together, and they each have the implements from their lives. So there's all these things, like the teacher has all her different implements and things embedded in concrete right there over her, and everything that meant something to her is literally plastered into the ground with her. And the same for this gentleman. He had all these power implements and things that you would use in lineman's work. And it was the damnedest thing we've ever seen. I mean, it was just amazing. And I was just really taken with it. I just thought it was really neat, what they did. And I thought, man, that's something I'd like to do. I'll take a bunch of EVP recorders and things and plaster them into the concrete. I'll go out with all my gear ready to go. So,
well, the lady had like a belt and pencils and a protractor and little buttons that she must have been a seamstress, and it was just really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just, it was really touching. I mean, you, that's the thing you find in some of these cemeteries is when you really get to walk around and look at some of what people have to say about their lives and the things that they've gone through. You sometimes you look and you just get tears in your eyes. You know, you just can't help it. You're blown away by the poignancy of it. Other times you're laughing yourself sick because of the sense of humor about it all. And then you'll run into that kind of a thing, and you're just sitting there with your mouth, you know, wide open going, wow, that is so cool. I got to do that. Okay, I'm looking here. We had, let me pop in here. I'm looking at Shingle Spring Cemetery. We had some, that wasn't too productive there. They will help me breathe. Need a holster.
I got that one out of there that said, something about it was like Joshua. No, Joshua, I'm Ray.
Oh. Well, I'm looking at Jacob. We got some names. The ones I picked up were Brady, James, Ray, Daryl.
Oh, yeah. He said, because I said that there's a guy right there, and his name is Jacob, and then you hear this, hi, Jacob, I'm Ray.
Yeah, I'm looking right here. Jacob, I'm Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Daryl needs you, I thank you, Eek. And that was one of those ones where you get like a, they show some emotion in the EVP, I thank you, Eek. And this is the cemetery I was talking about. Oh, here's Henry Dixon. He had something to say. They will help me breathe. But this is the cemetery I had to call the sheriff on because of the damage that happened. And I just got my shipment in from Amazon. We ordered the security cameras, so I'm going to go up and basically give those to the business there and see about having those installed so we can maybe stop some of this abuse from happening there, because that's kind of my spot. Those are my guys, you know, and I look out for them. And yeah, that last session when I did the EVPs there and the first voice goes, they're wrecking the place, you know.
Well, that's where John Palmer is.
Yeah, that's William Madison Palmer. That's right. Let me see. What else did we have? We had the Mercy San Juan thing. When my dad was in for that hospitalization, you weren't here for this one. But what it turned out was I was sitting there watching my father sleep. We had just had him in for surgery, and he was sleeping, and I remembered I had an EVP recorder, and I kind of looked around and went, well, come on, it's a hospital. Why not? So I ran a quick EVP session and ended up with a Class A EVP that was just eerie. I mean, it basically the voice went, we guide them to the peace. And that's exactly how it actually, if I were to, let me try to impersonate it. We guide them to the peace. It's just like that. And you go, what in the heck? You know, obviously there's a crew there that I guess guides people who passed to the light. So I've never heard anything like that in the past. That's a new one for us. But caught quite a few things in there. Definitely not your normal EVP. Let's see what some other ones you and I did. We did Fair Play. We did that. We did Wakamatsu. We did that Midtown Mall thing. Remember we went there to that where that old kind of wine barrel thing was at? Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me what kind of man you are. Here's another one. Touch me. Spirit agrees over the door. Facade, no to question. Batteries. I'm coming to get yours later. So they were obviously telling me they were going to empty our batteries.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, gee, thanks for letting us know. I'll carry more in the future, guys. See that? Yeah, that was a that used to be like a place where they stored, I guess, the town's quote spirits, if you will. Lots of the wine. There was like this fallen down facade, and there was these. The building had just completely come apart, but it's been left by the town. There's this big wine barrel like thing over the door. It's some of the only surviving indication of what the building is used for. And so Kat and I stopped there, and it was pretty cold. It was getting ready to snow, and so we didn't stay long. But we got a few EVPs out of that.
One of the things that was really interesting to me when we were down there was at the Coloma Jail, Remember when we were looking at the upper part and we were trying to figure out if that one part was just one cell or actually two? And then we found those rods in the wall and we found those hinges and we determined that it was actually two cells.
Yeah, matter of fact, I was down there for some training investigation. It turns out the 4-H club out here has a paranormal group. And I got invited out, you know, with some friends to go out there, and we went back to the jail. And I did some EVP out there and was, you know, teaching other folks how to do EVP work, and got talking with someone who knew the building. And it turned out that jail was much, much larger than what it looks like now. And a lot of the stones had been removed, and so it had multiple rooms in it. So we were correct, you know, it was a lot bigger. And I'd like to try to find a picture of what the thing looked like. But we always get the references to John Sutter where these guys are complaining about him. You know, one guy I've got on EVP says, I hate Sutter. You know, and they're kind of smart alecks there when you go in. So if any of you ever get the chance to hunt in Coloma, hit the jail and try some EVP work there and be respectful, but I'll tell you what, they're going to be characters. You'll definitely get some interesting EVPs out of it. There's a few real nice ones at the other end of town who are more cultured, if you will. I wear a zircon stone for protection when I go out, and we were talking about it on one of the investigations, and this I get this EVP later. We were playing it back, and this spirit walks up, and it was a woman, and she goes, ooh, nice stone. And it was very clear, and I'm like, oh, thank you. You're a very nice lady, too. You know. Anyway, hey, guess what? I think it's time for some more comedy, huh?
I would like to propose to you, I have something to maybe run by you as long as we're on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I have information that I gave you that Jesse James' father is buried in Placerville.
Oh, really?
And I believe that I know where he's buried.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to forward me that in detail, we'll actually go try to find it.
I do believe I can find him. And if
okay.
I can find Jesse James' father's grave, then I will consider myself as having arrived in my sensitive quest.
Well, I'll talk to Michelle and see if she's up for doing some research with it, and we'll see what we can pull out of our hat.
Because that would be the be-all and end-all.
Take the gear and take the GPS equipment and see what we pick up. Yeah, that'd be good.
So.
Okay, you got a deal. We'll try it out. I mean, I'm up for, you know, that's what we do. We'll go out and try the craziest darn thing, so. And it doesn't sound so crazy. I mean, you're good at what you do, so I trust you on this. Let's do it. Okay, that said, we got 20 minutes remaining, and we kind of went over since we've been having so much fun talking about everything. We're going to just play a little comedy here. Let's see. We already did Carla's deal.
You don't have the Lumberjack song, do you?
No, I don't. But, you know, probably a little let's do the commercial first, and then we'll play some music and have a little fun. We'll talk about the alien menace. Here we go.
Wow. Ooh. Fighting the alien menace can be tough work.
And so is keeping your hair clean, shiny, and dandruff-free.
So it's a good thing that we always keep a healthy supply of
head and shoulders around the house.
All EVPers should do that. Head and shoulders around the house. Here we go. Crypto.
Yeah, well.
Crypto! It's in crypto! Crypto, come and the crook go home!
Hey, kumbale, kumbale!
Is it safe? It's all safe, pretty safe, it's okay, it's okay, oh!
It's okay, old man!
Crack a cumbod, he won't break code!
It's all about Carla.
Get small when the internet come.
Online come
we sure is too stone.
Download the software till the morning's done.
Karma's gonna be a hooker into stone.
Punching my credit card, order me a dancer.
John's gonna be a Scottish hooker.
Come, Mr. Businessman, join in the bonanza.
We're all gonna be hookers into stone.
56 is a great big punch. Crypto, come and be crypto. 128 bit, even harder to crunch. Cracker,
gonna be a hooker in a town of two stone.
Crypto, it's then crypto.
Cryptos, come and be cash can flow.
Set, is it safe? It's all safe, pretty safe. It's okay, it's okay.
It's pretty safe.
Crypto, come and be crooked bone.
There is no danger, only soul.
Oh my God, was that you?
No, I think that was you.
Okay, hang on just a second. We got one more commercial. Just a moment.
A rabbit genetically modified and bred with a panther. With turbines attached. A rabbit slash panther with turbines, backed by an unusually strong tailwind on ice. The rabbit panther thingy with turbines and tailwind on ice. Shaved with a Cold Forge High Glide surgical grade razor.
Yep.
The whole rabbit panther turbine tailwind hairless razor scenario. Driven by an over caffeinated fighter pilot with a lead foot. All traveling down a ski jump in Switzerland under better than ideal conditions.
Damn, that sounds like some of the stuff I work on, man. I mean, being in the business I'm in aerospace.
Over-caffeinated,
you know?
Fighter pilot with a lead foot?
Yeah, you know, genetically modifying a rabbit. I mean, come on, we could do that. It's America, man. We could do that. So, hey, you know what? I've had a really good time on this show. I mean, we've kind of been rambling on. It was, you know, we had Vicky all set to go, and then between everybody getting sick and everybody getting carved up in hospitals, oh, geez. And she's actually going to be on next week with us. So we're going to get on with her and talk about her shop. And I did order her book. I think you have her book too, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I've been flipping through it, and it's really pretty well written. It's kind of a breakout of all the investigations she's had done in the house and some of the things that have gone on in there. And, you know, that we're going to basically just get her on and just freeform it with her and just go through some of the things she's had happen. Evidently, they did get pretty good video of an encounter there in the store. And this place has quite a history. There was a guy, I guess, that committed suicide that jumped off the second story of the building. And over the years, it's been many different kinds of businesses. And they bought into it, you know, in the, I think it was 2000, not too long after 2001, 2002, and I could be off a bit, but not too far off of, and they've turned it into this secondhand store, and so they have a little bit of everything in there, and it's not surprising, you know, that stores like that will have things come and go through them that are paranormal, because there's so many, secondhand shops and antique stores that do come with things that have a kind of a mind of their own, if you will. So she's got all these strange events that happen, and they find things, I guess, sitting in the aisleway, kind of doing, you know, they know they didn't do it. They come back and boom, there it is.
Yeah, I talked to her tonight for today for about an hour and a half, and I did a reading for her off of her building, and she was just like, "You're amazing. How do you know this stuff?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I just do." I told her about some stuff at her place that I wouldn't have known. She didn't tell me anything. I just started going, and she's just like, "Whoa, whoa, wow, whoa, wow, whoa, wow. Really interesting, you know?" So I just did one of my sensitive readings for her, and it was effective. So,
well, we're going to definitely have her on, and she's all set to she'll work with us and find out, you know, tell us everything that's going on these
right.
days with the place. I think the book was done in probably 2007, 2008 time frame is when she did this. So obviously there's probably a lot more going on, but she's very, very friendly to, I think this is in Wisconsin, if because I don't have the book in front of me right now.
She's in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and that store, she's real friendly to investigators, and she's had a few that did some, you know, weren't too nice to her, but for the most part, the groups that come in and deal with her are real nice folks, and they've made it a great place to, that's real friendly to investigators to come in and do work with. So for those of you who are listening to us, or even around that area, give Vicki a call. I mean, who knows? You might be able to get in there and actually, you know, check the place out for an overnighter and, you know, get surprised just like so many others have. The stories, though, the way she writes is pretty good. It's just direct, simple, and tells it like it is. And she's actually slept in there quite a bit when I was reading some of that, and has had interesting experiences where they've had sleepovers. And
right.
so I don't know how many ghosts they have in there. I mean, what was your feel when you did your read?
I got the feeling from her building that as I told her, there's a lot of good in her building. There's a lot of good people. There's also a lot of there's some turbulence, and there was actually a couple of murders and a suicide where a man jumped out of a top floor window. And
yeah.
I told her about the feelings that some of the other investigators get when they go into her shop, and she's like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. And I told her about the man in the basement. There's actually a man buried under the floor in the basement. And
right.
he was stabbed to death. And it was pre-done. The grave was pre-dug, and they threw him down in there, and it was very bloody. And I told her that's why the feelings in the basement are pretty ill. They're pretty odd. They can actually be kind of frightening at times. And she said, yeah, that's true. And when I do readings on these places, I really like to go to these places, and I'd really like to visit there at some point, just to get a real feel for what I've said.
Yeah, that place, it's just such she's so prevalent. When you go out like on mosthaunted.com, you continually see her and her husband there, and they evidently are very happy there. And the presence there seems to, for the most part, be very approving of what they've done with the place. And so most of the phenomena that have happened there are generally friendly from what the book seems to be saying. And it seems to be rather almost on show for when investigators go in. So it's a pretty productive place. And so we're looking forward to having her on and learning more about it. And, you know, I'm with the way the economy is, it's kind of tough for us to, you know, and my limitations of getting away from my father too far because of this stuff going on. And I'm not trying to escape, but bottom line is, you know, we're tied here fairly close, so if things do improve, maybe I can grab a flight out there and actually get to see this myself, but I don't see that happening in this year, about as far as we're going to go as Los Angeles, I think, for the, and maybe Tombstone, like, you know, we're talking about later on in the year. Some of the future stuff, too, what else do you see on your radar that you want to try for the second half of the year?
I'd like to go to... I'd really like to go out and see the Shanley. I know I'm going to Tombstone. And there's out here in Idaho is the old Idaho Penitentiary where you saw ghost hunters or ghost adventures go to. Now,
oh,
the
yeah.
Idaho Penitentiary is only about 6 hours away from me drive time.
That was like that was a great episode. As a matter of fact, it they did the their season premiere here Friday.
I know. I sent you the schedule.
Yeah, and it was like, I couldn't believe it. It was, you know, the place is like all of a half hour from my house. It was the Preston Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Zach got partially possessed by that woman who was murdered there. And I've watched it a few times. I'm going to watch it again because, I mean, it was a really good episode, what they did
there. Did you see that apparition walk down the hallway?
I saw a bunch. Actually, I'm gonna have to replay that one. I don't remember that, but oh yeah, wait, no, yeah, that was the one where they caught that misty thing, and it was just kind of
yeah.
It was real indistinct, but yeah, oh yeah, that was wasn't that cool?
And that was right after their processor got drained. Their ramp up that they use for energy. Right after that died, that thing started walking in the hall, and then they caught that lady's scream.
Yeah, and there was the whole bit with just you know going out to the cemetery, which they found, which some of the people there didn't realize. You know that old guy that was talking to them didn't know that he had they had the cemetery still there,
oh,
and
yeah.
They found one of the spirits. You know the young man who they feel is the one causing a lot of the disturbances there, and you know what was interesting to me was this one was not quite as confrontational. Where they usually go in and they'll really stir things up. They went in and kind of made a little show, but they didn't do too much, and things took a real turn, you know, for that group. So evidently there's I think 26 or 27 more new episodes that were signed because of how popular they are, and they have a great website and a lot of activities that they're going to be doing around the country. So. You know, go look up Ghost Adventures crew, and they're getting to be a real popular bunch. But I like that episode, and I don't know. I don't know if I'd spend the night in that place, but, you know, it's so close, I've got to go take a look at it, you know. I mean, I don't think we can get in. I think I've run into that gal before. The gal that did the tour with them, I've actually hunted with her once over in it was in or by the Santa Cruz area. There's a haunted inn just up the road from there, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. But I hunted with her one time, and she's really pretty famous. It's Ghost Trackers, I think, and she's at ghosttrackers.org, and they're you know she runs a really tight ship, and they're one of the older paranormal groups in the state. And really well recognized, and she's a total pro, and I just really admire the heck out of her. I can't remember her name right off the bat, but go out there and look for that that site, and then you'll get a real education. And she's done a lot of leading edge studies and you know parapsychology research and that kind of thing. And I'm trying to remember the name of that inn that we were in. It was the start with a B. But anyway, she conducts herself really well, and she's now leading, I think, the event coordination for Preston Castle. So she can be gotten in contact with it too. And there's a Preston Castle website. If you look that up, they have tours and things that they can arrange. So definitely a place to check out.
You're not talking about
said,
Brook Lodge, are you?
Brookdale Lodge, that's it.
Brookdale
yeah,
Lodge.
And it's turned, yeah, the Brookdale actually has changed. We hunted it just before it got sold, and it went from being the Brookdale Lodge to the Brookdale Inn and Spa, and it's turned into, there's been some real battles, I think, between them and the local county they're in, some issues over some of the practices that they're doing there and different things that have gone on, and they had an accidental chemical spill inside the brook room, which
Ooh.
Is where people eat, and it killed a bunch of trout in the stream that goes through the Brook Lodge where people eat, and so I think they had some stuff going on, and I'm relating only what I remember, so don't hold me true to exactly getting it right, but bottom line is the county and them have had a real time of it, and hopefully things are improving for them. It's just that their money supply was, you know, low, and their dreams are big, and they were really trying to do a lot to convert the place. And I'm not sure if they're still doing hunts there, but it's definitely. I'd like to look that back up because that was a great place. But That said, what do you got planned for the week, Ms. Kat?
I've been working 7 days a week, so I'll work 7 days a week this week and 7 days a week next week and 7 days a week the week after that. And
okay, and I'm sitting here actually staring at the last of our first raspberry crop that came in. I'm actually sitting here with Almada Farms fresh raspberries. It just came out from just about 200 feet from where I live here. Our patch just came in, and we've got our garden at full tilt. That's why I've been out mowing and doing things this weekend. I couldn't do anything paranormal because we just got our food production's coming in, and I've got like an apple orchard right outside my house, and that's going full tilt. We got apples everywhere, and we may try to make some apple wine here real soon. So,
I make really good applesauce.
Yeah, I'm gonna try apple wine, and then I'll come up with some killer, paranormal label. It'll be like Almada's Wicked Brew or something, So I don't know, Ghost Rider Brew. Hey, yeah, have some of this. You'll see ghosts in no time. So anyway, yeah. Oh God, I can't tell you. I'm gonna eat some of this right now just to tell you how good it is. Oh, that's good.
What is it? Oh, raspberries.
Raspberry with whipped cream.
Tell
you this. Yeah, it's all organic and no chemicals. This stuff is the best. And we get like now that it's coming in, we get from now on till end of September, we have raspberries every morning. Mounds of them. So you could, matter of fact, we have like an entire bowl of strawberry or raspberries, and then we throw a little cereal on just to add, some crunch to it. So, yeah, it's great to be on a farm, let me tell you. Anyway, we're coming up towards the end of the show,
uh-huh.
And we're going to, we had a great show. I really enjoyed this one. It was just nice, kind of just, like I said, just talking about the past, where we're going. So, for me, it's going to be great to see what happens with USS Hornet. We're going to really, throw some resources at that. On the September 5th, I think that second one's going to be really interesting. Going to meet Chip Coffey and some of the guys there. That they're going to have some, really interesting people aboard. So, 25 of us are going to be on that ship to do that, and that's what's going on for me. And then you've got the thing going on in Tombstone that I more than likely will be able to do, because I've been at my company 25 years and my vacation accrues very quickly. So I definitely will do that. And let's see, why don't we do the shout out, make sure everybody gets acknowledged for their participation in the show.
Well, there's Brian, Disgruntled Dan, Doc John, Carla, Hey Cat, and GRI Paranormal.
Okay, well, hey, guys, thank you, everyone, and appreciate you guys being on. And, hey, by the way, Doc John, I have not forgotten about our interview. I have got to re-get this all scheduled, so I will be in contact with you, okay, my friend? So that said, we're coming up on the end of it, and we got 1 minute remaining, so let's pick something like The Last Blast. Here we go.
Yeah, hey, don't forget to go to my I Am Haunted page, John, and just look around it and tell me what you see.
Okay, and we will do that. And here's The Last Blast. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Goodness gracious, did it play?
The legend of Gunga Din.
Oh,
let us recreate that moment. With the enemy waiting in ambush, the humble water boy sees his beloved comrades rapidly approaching the deadly trap. He realizes fully well that sounding the bugle to warn them might mean certain death. Undaunted
certain death.
And oblivious to consequence, he bravely raises the bugle to his mouth and...
Poor guy. That's gotta hurt.
Oh,
Hey, see you guys later. Oh, damn. Don't shoot. Oh, no. That horse got it, man. You know the horse got hit, man. That ain't right.
Get that little squeaker going.
I'm going to call Animal Planet on that one. No!
Oh my God.
No.
Yes.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Don't blow, dude. This is blowing chunks, man. This ain't right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
So I've belted you and flayed you by the living God that made you. You're a better man than I am, Gunga Din.
You're a deader man than I am.
Love to do his EVPs. Hey, guess what? I'm just going to just have one more fun one here. It's a replay,
uh-oh,
but you'll like it. This is your favorite one.
Oh, God. Oh, no. That's funny. Oh, God.
Can they prove it's not just a maze?
A big, hairy man. Did they just make it?
He's been spotted a lot.
That's right.
From coast to coast.
There he goes.
Mind of the soul. And you can smell him from really far.
Really far.
And one right out back.
Good grief. In the freezer. I don't know if they're going to find the whole plan or not.
We gotta do another Bigfoot show, you know that?
Come along to the Bigfoot family, yo. Yeah, we should.
Yeah, I'm up for another Bigfoot show. But you know what? We gotta talk some aliens too here, and let's play a little bit of our removal of an alien from a friend of mine. Here we go. Yeah. This actually happened.
You can do. He thinks he's an athlete.
Yeah. Wait, Dr. Luck.
Ooh.
Sitting
on testicles.
Oh,
Dagger!
No.
Dagger, take the leg!
Wait.
some forceps. I might be able to catch it in his colon.
How you doing?
Oh, no.
Rectally.
Ooh, oh, no.
There's always time for lubricant. All right, flip it.
Okay, here we go.
We got to try to relax, buddy.
It's going
to
be okay.
I'll shut this gurney up your ass. See if you relax, Ira.
It's better.
All right. Going in.
Uh-oh.
Going in.
Don't clench. Don't clench.
You're so brave. You're so brave.
A little more.
No more.
A little deeper. No. Stay fire. Squeeze my hand. Squeeze it.
Almost there.
Open
breathe.
Up. Open up.
Breathe.
Open up.
Breathe. Breathe.
I'm breathing.
Almost there.
There.
Oh, it's over. It's over.
Oh. Just died. Don't you ever do that again!
Oh, my God, that was... Oh. You
just see the size of that thing you had inside. It was like this, man. You took it like a man.
You're all right. You're all right. Great. Did you get anything? Do you need anything?
Ice cream. I'd like an ice cream, please.
What flavor?
It doesn't matter. It's for my ass.
For my ass. It doesn't matter. For my
well,
ass.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. You know, for July, let's do a Bigfoot show. And then let's see if we could get some of your friends you've talked with about Bigfoot on. I mean, you're connected with a bunch of those guys, right?
That's right.
All right, let's do it. We'll put it in for, I don't know, maybe the July 4th episode. We'll do an All-American Bigfoot show. I like it. All-American Bigfoot show. It'll be like...
Oh, that's way too funny.
Yeah, we'll find all the music we can, and then I'll mix in some stuff. We'll just have some fun with it. So, but if you could get some... we'll tell your story and talk about some of the... Matter of fact, have you found any of... newspaper clippings and things like that?
You know, I found several newspaper clippings, old newspaper clippings. I found, in fact, I have some friends that I've listened to some of their recordings, and to be perfectly honest with you, I can totally believe that they're genuine recordings, and they are of Bigfoot speaking.
Whoa. Actually speaking?
Speaking.
Well, why don't you get in contact and see if we can pull it up, you know, and get these guys on. I mean, I'd be willing to, play some of that stuff and see what we can come up with. Yeah, it's that time of year. People are going to be out, you know. They're going to be out camping. They're probably going to run into this guy, and we got to know, you know. It's a public service we're doing, right? So, and if you've got Bigfoot speaking, we've got to hear it. I mean, that's the way it's going to work. So, good Lord, what else is there? What have we got coming up? I still haven't done that UFO trip. I'm going to talk to my mother because she'll be able to point out where she saw that. Remember that UFO show we did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to, now that Dad's pretty much done with surgeries for a while, I think we'll just take them out for the day here. One day this month we'll go out and... actually go out there and try to look at this place and see what we can see. I mean, and find out if anybody else remembers that what's going on. Kevin Bacon's family had lived there, and they actually lived next door to us, believe it or not, out there. That was our family ranch. So, and there was a Titan missile base across the street that the UFOs found most interesting. Oh, my goodness. And we're looking at, I still got some of the old EVPs from the Mark and Debbie Constantino show. That was a great show, by the way. I thought that they were really great to have on. And I'm going to have to let them know what happened on that investigation here at Virginia City. Oh, my God. Can I still play stuff here? Oh, sometimes it doesn't work. Let me see what I can play here.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty. Period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
Just had to do that. We always play that, and I forgot, so I got it in. I got to feel pretty good about that. Anyway, so if you got any ideas for shows, you know, throw them out there, because, you know, I'm coming up with this stuff. You got some ideas. I mean, you're doing your own shows now, but, hey, come up with some, you know, if we have to do a Bigfoot Fest once a month, I mean, come on.
Bigfoot's always interesting to talk about because there's all kinds of new and exciting things coming out about sighting the creature
and recordings coming out. I have one friend that he has some captures of Bigfoot talking, but I don't think he will come on the show, but I will ask if I can use his recordings.
Yeah, matter of fact, yesterday I saw long-range photography of what looked to be a creature crawling up the side of a Himalayan mountain, and it was distinctly ape-like, and they were able to do comparisons of the size of the trail, the width of the trail, that
mm-hmm.
these two mountain climbers were coming down. This thing walked across their trail and stopped and looked at them. It was like 400 yards away, and it was totally aware they were there, and they knew, it knew they could see it. And it sat in the snow just sitting there looking at them, and then it got up, and this thing turns around and starts walking up the mountain like it's not, you know, not even a problem. And they estimate the height at somewhere between 7 to 10 feet. And this thing was just huge. And the way it turned was what, like, an ape would do. It had, instead of a fully articulated neck like we humans have, the entire body has to turn because the neck can't, you know, the face will run right into the neck, to the shoulders. So it has to turn its whole body to look at you, and that's what it did. And so there, that was a really interesting piece of video evidence. I'd like to find that that on tape. And then there was another one taken over by Mount Shasta of a similar type event where there was a famous researcher who was showing pictures of these things walking up in a pair, looked like two of them walking together up the up Mount Shasta. So and that whole area is just known to be a big just a spot where there's a lot of sightings. So yeah, definitely, you know, a lot going on there with regard to it. And even out this way, you know, not too far out of Placerville, you go out into the woods too far into the Sierras, and there's been, especially up by heading towards Lake Tahoe, if you go up into the Desolation Wilderness, there's been reports, and I've heard talk of these things being seen up in the high, the very high mountains, and you just wonder what they survive on. I mean, these things are huge, and they've got to take a lot of food. And evidently, they're pretty opportunistic. They'll take about anything they can eat, and hopefully not human. So,
they have not been known to attack human beings. They're smart enough, I believe, to stay away from human beings. There are people, from what I understand, there's people that I know now that are the Bigfoot are actually quite comfortable being around. I don't know. I know I've seen one. I've seen two, actually, but the one that I saw back in 76 was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my, probably one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. And if I could see another one, oh, God, yes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we're one of Michelle Cook, one of our team members here on GRI has really been pushing to go up to Covelo, and Covelo is a just outside the Trinity National Forest here in California, and there's a lot of, there were Indian massacres out that way, and she's real big on wanting us to go out there and check this out because there's a lot of, you know, crazy spiritual activity that goes on. But not only that, just in that whole area, there is just, you know, Bigfoot sighting after Bigfoot sighting after Bigfoot sighting.
Wow.
And, it's just like a, you know, that whole forest on out to the west all the way to the ocean is, that's the territory, you know, in this state where it really kicks off. So you know, she wanted to go out in sometime in about third week of July. She was talking about us doing a camp out there, and I thought, yeah, I could do that. We could just load up, go do an overnighter, and see what we pick up. And I might take some night vision equipment and see what we can see. I mean, I doubt I'm gonna see anything that would be, you know, Bigfoot. But I don't think I'm gonna take any speakers to try to encourage it to come in, you know, and play some of those calls. I think that would be kind of suicide. But I don't know. I mean, would you do something like that?
Oh, yes.
You do it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, for real. Definitely, I'd do it. I would go up there and bang on some trees and see if I can actually get a response from these things. I think that I could probably talk to the people that I know and gain some real insight from them firsthand as to what these things do and do not like. And maybe I can go back up into the woods with a real a newfound knowledge of what to do with these things.
Yeah, it's funny because I watched Monster Quest was on the other day, and they played a new episode where they went back to that cabin in Ontario. It's like 200 miles from the nearest civilization, and the only way you can get in is by float plane. You know, land on this lake, and you go in, and they set up an experiment to go in there, and they were going to try to attract the creature. Well, what happened was, they had the weather this year was slightly off for the time of year that they normally have the sightings the most. That's when they went in. And it turned out that the berries were not ripening fast enough in that part of the world. And about 100 miles south, they were ripening, and they were having all sorts of Bigfoot action down there, and they had to move the investigation out of the cabin. But this cabin had come under attack many a time, and the people that they talk to who go in there to go fishing and enjoy a summer vacation will wake up to feel the cabin actually shaking, and this thing is trying to knock the cabin down, and it's throwing rocks. I mean, and we're not talking pebbles. We're talking big, good-sized rocks are hitting this metal roof, and this thing is trying to scare the people out. And evidently there's a bunch of them that come up through there, and they're fairly hostile. So there's different temperaments, I think, and different tribal mentalities, if you will, that these things have. And from what I've been able to tell, just what limited knowledge I have of Bigfoot. But they did a great job on that show. It's I think you could pull it up on Hulu and actually watch that episode, and you'd just be blown away. Just look for Monster Quest, and then look for their Bigfoot, the latest Bigfoot episode they have. And it's a really good one.
Oh, you know, I'm still going to be watching that.
What's that?
I said, you know, I'm still going to be watching that.
Yeah, it was a good episode, and I was thinking of you when I saw it. I went, man, this is right at Cat's Alley, so I'm glad I remembered here. Yeah, it's Monster Quest does a great job with a lot of the stuff they do. They go in, really. And do the best they can with some of these crazy cases that, they did. I think they did Mothman, and they've done those giant bird cases where there's evidently Indian folks say there are these birds that are just huge, giant birds that have taken human beings, and these things can fly down and take you. And they actually had witnesses, in the last few years who have actually been attacked by these things. And they're usually in lesser populated areas, and these things have their own flyways and are evidently quite active. And they will take a kid. And this one kid, they showed running, the story of what happened to him. He ran and he got lifted up, and it was too heavy. The bird miscalculated that this kid was as heavy as he was, and he had to drop him in. The kid actually, the shirt stayed on, the talons, but the kid dropped down. And so he got all scratched up and, bruised and everything. But he didn't get up that far, maybe 5 feet, when he got let go of. And his shirt just went with the bird. So, these things are out there, And it would be, there's whole tracks and sections of Canada all the way up to the Yukon, all the way up into Alaska, where this stuff is talked about. And you see these bird figures on the totem poles. So obviously these Indians are seeing something,
Well, what's kind of interesting is this. I'm on Hulu and I see this thing about the lizard man, and my friend down in South Carolina has actually seen this thing.
Oh, really?
She was telling me about it. Yeah, she's one of my best friends down in South Carolina. She's seen this. She was telling me about it, and I was like, that's a little far-fetched. And she said, no, you don't understand. I've seen this thing. And I'm like, really? To who?
Well,
tell me about it.
I've heard of those reptilian type things. And what's funny? If there's been some studies that were done that talked about what would have happened if dinosaurs had continued to evolve. And the way it was going, especially with velociraptors, they were talking that that particular family, and somebody will probably hear this and correct me and tell me I'm on the wrong family, but it was something like velociraptors, was basically poised to become the equivalent, human equivalent, or analog, was going to evolve right out of there because they had the intelligence.
Right.
And the cunning, and they would be, they were prime candidates for becoming more of a humanoid form. And so it's not all that far-fetched that you would have reptilian, creatures that would have evolved that direction. Now, there's a lot of interesting talk that goes on about, especially I've been researching my book about interdimensional travel and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things they keep talking about is that there's, the many universes, there's different Earths that can sometimes interact. And so these things might pop in and out and actually be seen or actually just pop in and get stuck here and then are living here. And people see these things and don't realize what they're seeing is from another universe, but basically an analog Earth. And that maybe that's what happens to people who disappear. They just walk in and they're suddenly off in another realm. So I think it's far-fetched, like you say, but it's not entirely without precedent that maybe some of these things could have happened in another universe. The dinosaurs didn't go extinct, and these things evolved, and suddenly one crosses over somehow into our reality, and then your friend sees it. So that's one possibility. Another is it's just flat out from another planet, and it got here somehow on some kind of ship. And you know how we feel about UFOs. The stuff is happening, and the government knows far more than it's saying.
Well, I think things like the Mothman. I don't like to say it, but I do not believe that thing exists. I'm sorry.
I think that people were seeing some sort of paranormal activity, and whatever they were seeing was a flying thing, but I have no explanation for what that was. But obviously something was trying to get people's attention, and right around the time, and it kept flying all around that bridge that went down. And
the West Virginia Bridge.
Yeah, and there's been sightings of these things around, and God knows what you're dealing with. Could it be demonic? Could it be, some sort of creature that, gets its kicks out of tragedy and is feeding off emotions? I mean, who knows, what that thing is? But obviously there's some strange events that were going on. Too many people were having experiences to that were similar, describing this creature flying around, but, was it in their minds? Were they seeing the real deal? I would suspect that the U.S. government would know a lot more about whatever this thing was than it's ever let on, because that thing sort of disappeared for a long time, and there's still people that say, yeah, it's still seen around, but nothing like what it was in those days, in the 60s.
Well, there was two couples that originally saw this thing down at the TNT factory where they used to make munitions, and then three firemen saw it.
Yeah.
So there's just not enough information for me to think that it's real.
Yeah, I would like to see, truth, not lie detector, but what the lie detector people always call it, truth verification tests, to make sure these folks are saying what they really did see. And I'm inclined to believe that I don't think that they're going to have a lot of motivation to go lying about it. But, over time, stories change, and they become embellished. And, what could have been one thing may turn into another. So it would be interesting to see what various government agencies had to say and investigators had to say over the years who've looked into this. But then again, there's all these stories that it's like your friend with the reptile story. There's too many of these things that go on, and the UFO, the whole UFO question. Now, in 2010, we're on the very edge of my planning envelope. For 2010, we're going to be going to Rachel, Nevada, and we're going to actually put GRI crew out. There's a town, it starts with an A, and I'm trying to remember the name, Argo or something like that. It's, I can't pick the name out of my head right now, but Rachel is the town closest to Area 51. And midway between Rachel and this other town is a point where some of these craft are seen flying in and out of the base. And it's a extremely active area, so you can legally be out there and do your thing. So our crew is going to go there. We're going to put maybe two or three investigators out and do an overnighter and see what we pick up. And then the next thing we're going to do, same time next year, right about this time when the weather's really good, out here in this part of the state, we are having a UFO wave out here, believe it or not, that's been going on for some time, and people are seeing these triangular craft that are coming in, and they're always somewhere in the vicinity of Area 51, and they tend to range in a kind of an oblong envelope going from down past Stockton all the way up past Lake Tahoe and maybe a bit up towards Oregon. So this looks like an air corridor for some sort of maybe a government vehicle or something like that. I don't know. Or we've got an alien presence that's monitoring all our facilities, you know, in a big long swath. But whatever these things are, these triangles are being seen more and more frequently and all around the world. But in this area, it's a real whole lot of it going on. So we're going to put a crew out not too far from where the UFO hunter guys did their gig. And do an overnighter and see what we see and put some cameras out, three investigators back to back and see what we see. And who knows? So we're going to branch out a little bit into some UFO hunting just for fun, kind of mix things up a little bit. And who knows? We may even see a Bigfoot when we're out there because we'll be high up in the Sierras, way high
up. A Bigfoot abducted by an alien, that would be the hit right there.
That would be, the Bigfoot with... the ghost of a Bigfoot talking with a real Bigfoot abducted by aliens. That's it. That would like just tie it all together in one big convenient package, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God. And I got it all on film. I can't friggin' believe it.
Yep. But, we're going to have some fun here. I mean, Nevada and California are definitely on the target list for UFO UFO activity. And we're going to just check it out, see what we think, and come back with probably come back empty-handed, but we'll have a damn good time when we're down there. And if, on the way back to and from, we're going to hit the haunted spots on the way anyway and just have a grand old time. So, yeah, so if you're up for UFO hunting, definitely let me know because it'll be three of us. I figure three will be plenty for an investigation, an overnighter like that, but you got to dress warm because these places get cold at night.
I'll go.
The desert can get down to 15 degrees. In some of these places, even on a May and June night, it really gets cold. So we go in, really dressed well and that kind of thing. So, well, hey, kiddo, we've talked it out for half an hour past the regular show. So I'm seeing it just start to hearing my Big Ben clock go off here. So, let's talk during the week about some of this future stuff with if you can get me the information for Arizona, I can put the vacation time in now, so I've got it locked in for October, huh?
Well, Tombstone.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm off the host queue. Oh, that's right. We're still on the air.
Yep.
El Dorado Days is October 16th, October 17th, and October 18th.
Okay. Well, we'll do
and,
that then. And...
Clanton Days is, it's in November, and it's, shit. Where's my notes on it? Anyways, I think it's November, like, 16th or 17th and 18th, something like that.
Oh, you're going down twice, or?
Well, There's two. There's El Dorado Days, and then there's Clanton Days. Clanton Days is in November, so.
All right, well, I figure October will be good, and then, you know, November, December, that's kind of when we ramp down and start getting back into planning mode and, you know, figure out where we're going for, you know, the following year and all that. So, yeah, I think October, that'll be great. So, anyway, I'll get with you, and we'll go ahead and call this episode One That's in the Can, and I'm not even sure what number we're on. We've got a total, like a lot of them done. So I just want to thank everybody who's listening on the Archive Show. Hope you enjoyed just some of our chit-chat about things coming up. And we'll be on again with Vicki Elsing of Elsing's Secondhand Shop. And if you get the chance, go out to mosthaunted.com. Kat is a celebrity person who does many, many advanced things on that site. You're actually a goddess of the most haunted, or not most haunted,
yeah.
But haunted. I just can't even remember what the hell I was just going to say. But you are a great power there. You handle all their accounts and everything at I Am Haunted. So that said, I'm going to go ahead and play the ghost theme and then hang it up, and we'll see you guys again in about 1 week. And with
that's
that,
right.
This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off, and I'll talk with you later, Miss Kat.
Yes.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.